Eric Hunter is an enormous tool bag.
Okay, I think I know what game Jason's bringing.
Oh, really?
I do.
Were you looking over his Twitter feed for what he's
No,
been playing
no.
lately or
I
something?
just I think I've been talking to him once a week for almost a year now. Starting to get some telepathic stuff. Always coming back.
Welcome to episode 50 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I can barely count to 50, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I slept in a stranger's bed.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I once punched a Time Lord.
Would that make you a time puncher?
I'm a time puncher.
A time puncher!
A time puncher! He's been communicating with me all week. It's been nice.
Through punches?
The time puncher,
that is. The time puncher. The time puncher. I kind of want a t-shirt that says that now.
That like, says the time puncher?
Just got his face on it, like, you know, the I don't take no shit look.
We could sell it on rocketpants.com.
We could.
Rocketpants.com.
Yeah, well, it's rocket-pants.com,
well, yeah.
But
more, it's more
who's
of a hyphen,
counting?
But who cares? Rocket pants.
We could do that. We seriously, I mean, we've got quite a few ideas already. We just need to find either a reliable online store
could
to
we
do
just,
it.
Are you guys aware of Cafe Press?
Yeah.
Yes.
Could we just do a One More Castle Cafe Press storefront
we could.
And redirect Rocket Pants URL to it and sell t-shirts that way?
Yeah.
We would get a couple bucks a shirt.
I've got a website pre-built that allows you to buy stuff.
Yeah, but we'd have to like have an outside source making the shirts.
Yeah,
I don't know how to
that's
make
true.
Shirts.
That's
Cafe
true.
Press will make the shirts on order.
I forgot they did that.
Yeah. Just something to consider.
Yeah. Yep.
But
I
mean,
there.
Hunter, I'm just wondering: did you sleep in a stranger's bed like last night, or just one time ever, or what are you talking about?
Last night,
okay.
I had work meetings out of town, so I had to spend the night in a hotel. So I slept in a stranger's bed because it's not my bed.
Well, this is a retro gaming podcast. So have you guys played any old video games lately? I think that's a better
I slept point. In a stranger's bed.
64.
64. So, yes. The answer is yes to the video game question.
Great.
And Bailey, I think you were a little upset because we talked about NES games on the last podcast when Tom was filling in for you.
Yeah, like Bible games and all kinds of NES stuff I didn't get to weigh in on.
So I'm going to blow your mind.
Oh, no.
You ready?
Oh, boy. Okay.
I want you to travel down the rabbit hole that I fell through. So come journey with me as you lose the next 5 hours of your life.
Oh, jeez. All right.
So I listen to a podcast called The Continue Cast. If you guys have ever heard of it, it's like, you know, four guys and they get together, they play a video game, then they talk about it. It's, you know, they've been friends forever. So like that kind of connection is really... It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, the last episode, they're reviewing Psychonauts for the you know Xbox and PlayStation 2 and Steam and all that stuff. The main creator behind Psychonauts was Tim Schafer. So he's very widely known in the gaming populace, especially now with his indie game runs and Double Fine Studios
yep.
and that kind of thing. They had mentioned that he had something to do with Maniac Mansion. And I didn't remember that. Like, I remembered Ron Gilbert, who was, like, the main writer behind Maniac Mansion, but I didn't remember Tim Schafer. So I pulled up his wiki page, and I was like, oh, okay, he helped port the Scum engine, which is what Maniac Mansion runs, to the NES.
Good old Scum.
That's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then I remembered Maniac Mansion. So I started playing Maniac Mansion. Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
and then I remembered that there is a, it was kind of like a fan remake called Maniac Mansion Deluxe, which was designed on the Adventure Game Studios engine. It's free to download. You're right there. You gonna make it?
I'm good.
Write that down. Well, I've got more, because after playing that game, which is fun, because I mean, it's, you get to use the mouse and on your computer and stuff. I used the mouse, Jason.
I'm impressed.
Used the mouse. Yeah.
How'd that feel?
So, it was odd and weird, a little dirty. Felt like it was sleeping in a stranger's bed. So I'm playing it, and I'm like, man, this game's great. I'm sure that there's been others. You know, Day of the Tentacle was the big sequel that came after it. Mm-hmm. So I typed in Maniac Mansion remakes. And there's two. There's one that's using the exact same engine, the Venture Game Studios engine, called Night of the Meteor, which they're remaking the game in the Day of the Tentacle-esque graphics and design. Like, even like some of the, all the character designs are going to be very similar to that style. And there's another one. Now, that one's in the, that one's working, so it's they're still working on it. And there's another one that somebody else is working on called Meteor Mass 3D, which is a 3D remake of Maniac Mansion.
What?
I was like engrossed for like 5 hours this week. Like, whoa, look at this. And this part's really cool. I downloaded the soundtrack and put it on my phone.
Nice.
So now I'm jamming the Maniac Mansion as I go to work.
That's pretty cool.
It was a glorious time.
That's
a great stiffy game, too, if you've never played it.
It's a classic. Blowing up hamsters in the microwave.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Doesn't make any sense why you would do it. But
you can.
And also, so I was playing through the game. So, sorry. Let me get back to me actually playing the game. And I realized I've never beaten Maniac Mansion without glitching.
Huh.
You know, like the whole, when you go into the kitchen and Nurse Edna's there, and then if you just switch characters really quick and then you go back, she's not there anymore.
Actually, no, I didn't know about that, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Getting into the last door in the dungeon where you need the 4-digit code.
Mm-hmm.
If you never look through the telescope to get the code, it's always 4 zeros. So, like, you can skip that entire section of the game.
Huh.
And then the other glitch that I use is when you go into Edna's room to get the key off of her safe. If you, again, change characters and go back, she's like frozen up on top of the ladder, so you can just freely roam around and grab stuff. Like, I've never actually played the game as in its intention. Like, I've only been able to beat it by glitching.
So what you're really saying is Tim Schafer did a crappy job of porting it to the NES and it's full of bugs.
Well, see, I've never played like the Commodore 64 version or the Amiga version.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if like those are actually in the game and he was just doing what he was told and taking this and that turning it into this. Or he did an awful job of porting it. Either way, I can't. I can't beat the game without glitching it. So,
well, you're beating me tonight in the retro T-shirt contest. My shirt is
like
not gaming related whatsoever. That's nice.
You like that?
That's, I do.
The wife bought this for me.
Really?
Yeah, she was out at Target or something, and or Kohl's, and she texts me. And she's like, "What shirt size do you wear again?" I'm thinking. Are you serious? We live together. Like, I don't. You've been buying my clothes for 5 years. You can't remember what shirt size
I
wear?
I think my wife tells me what shirt size I wear. But,
nice. There you go.
That's a joke.
But I'll tell you what, though. It's. I mean, I got a ton of Nintendo stuff. It's really hard to find, like, Sega stuff.
It is.
It's like Sonic.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't find a T-shirt out in the wild of a Genesis controller.
Yep, that's true.
Because they're probably sitting in the back and they're like, what the hell is this? Why is there 6 buttons?
Yeah, ABC is a weird knockoff. Ugh. All
right, that's my rant. Nice. Jason?
Jason!
What did I play? I played something called Heartlight.
Heartlight?
Heartlight. It was originally for 8-bit Atari home computer. So the Atari 800, and then it was released on DOS. I found an HTML5 version.
Of course you did.
Of course. Why not? Because once in a while I just Google HTML5 DOS and see where it leads me.
See, that's what it is. It's either an HTML5 game, or he bought one of those all-in-one, you plug it into the TV, multi-play ROM games. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I played that.
Yeah.
And let's just say, don't play that.
Okay.
Noted.
It's not good. And then I pulled a Bailey and played the game that I'm bringing this week to our retro
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I'm prepared for once.
I was wondering why my playbook has been missing so many pages lately. Apparently you've been taking them.
There you go. So you've been playing, Bailey.
I've actually been super busy lately. The only thing I've really played is a little game called Legend of Zelda.
Nice.
Aww.
It's pretty good. If you never played it, check it out.
I have.
I played.
What'd you think of it?
I really like it. It kind of helped me become who I am. So we've had that conversation before. Don't act like you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I take that game
way too serious. Like, that was my guiding light growing up.
I know, it's just hard to keep a straight face. Like, oh, yes, yes, way to shift gears right away and change my life. Right. Mm.
It was life-changing. It was.
It's
today.
It's that kind of game. Reviewed it on NintendoLegend.com. I'm going to go ahead and throw out the self-promo. Sorry, but it was review number 300, so I had to...
It's all right. I got one in for the night then, so we're good.
That's what I've been playing.
Nice.
Cool.
Cool.
What do you think of it?
I believe that even... Let me start over. I do not believe it is a perfect game, but I think it's the kind of game where even examining its flaws makes you love it more. It's almost like a living, breathing thing. Like, the imperfections make it more human. An example... Some of the overworld clues, or lack thereof, as to where to find certain things, like what bush to burn, what rock to blow up, extremely vague or completely non-existent as to clues. Personally, I think that's part of the experience. I think it's a bygone product of a pre-internet age where you could see someone actually spending hours a week on this game and taking handwritten notes and making these hand-drawn maps and really, like, getting in the game and exploring it and being like, where is this darn artifact I'm looking for? And keeping a journal, like, day 17, bombed every rock face from this coordinate to this coordinate. We'll move on to the next, like, tomorrow. Like, there's nothing else today quite like it anymore. Maybe with the exception of Fez, in that same spirit of requiring you to really groupthink and, like, asking your buddy down the street, like, what'd you do at this part? And I think it's so rewarding. I remember as a kid when I found the spot where you play the magic flute to make the next dungeon appear. Like, that is such a cool feeling. It's just a great game. Very human experience kind of gameplay.
Day 34. Killed an Octorok today. Ate its flesh. Cried until morning.
Day 35. Finally raised enough money to pay that "ain't you gonna give me something, make me talk" guy. He said, "ain't enough to make me talk. We'll try again tomorrow."
Guy's a total a-hole. Ran into his twin brother.
Turns out he's an a-hole too.
No, it's one of those games that... And it's either, like you were saying before, it was either due to the limitations of the hardware or maybe even limitations to the imagination of the developers, but it forces you to adventure. Like, it forces you to take risks where, I mean, hell, games nowadays, it's even in the indie game scene. I mean, granted, I'm still new, but there's very few games that, you know, test your limits, I guess you could say. Or,
yeah,
because
I would agree.
Because they're so worried about retention and keeping the gamer's eyeballs on them while they're playing. And, you know, if I got to sit down and draw a map, like, nobody's going to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it's a great testimony that despite Legend of Zelda having a few parts like that, it sold over 6 million copies. It's irresistible. You want to beat this thing. It feels like an actual quest. Especially for such an early NES game. It was It was one of the first, if not the first, American releases to have a battery save. If you were used to using those long, like, stupid password systems, the battery save was, like, also mind-blowing. Just great stuff.
I hate passwords.
Asswords.
Asswords.
There's a game concept for you.
Is it?
Is it really?
Well, I'm curious now. Please, continue. You've piqued my interest.
Yeah, you know, the screen comes on and there's like 650 consecutive random characters, including some with accent marks and Cyrillic versions and Roman versions and Japanese script, and you have to handwrite it down, and on the next screen you have to enter it all in succession, and then you're given a percentage score on how much of it you got correct, and you can't progress any further until you do.
I thought I was just looking for words that had the letter O in them.
But it could also be the number zero, or it could be case sensitive between a capital O or a lowercase O.
Yeah, big ass words and lower ass words. I don't know what I'm saying.
It could be a zero with a slash through it, or like an O with a dot in the middle, and you're like, what is that supposed to be? And
something coming out at me. Oh, God's sake, it stop. Make it stop.
Ass words 3D. Okay.
Wow, so we got a whole series now.
Speaking of confusing a-holes, let's move on to the listener email discussion question.
Nice.
This one comes from James Harvey, our listener email discussion question this week. First off, how is Sven's Co-op a retro game? Jason, you want to quickly tackle that one?
Star development for Cutoff. Our Cutoff is the year 2000, I believe. Yeah, I believe it started development in 1998, so it is, in fact, a game. That is retro. If you're referring to the fact that it's a mod, screw you. Mods are games.
Ignore the fact that it's still in development, but second, if you had to choose one retro game to go back in time and halt the development of it to save us from its existence now, what would it be? I think that's a good question. What do you guys think?
So I have to go back and stop a game being developed?
Yeah, so it's not even necessarily the worst game, but the game that you believe, by stopping it from ever existing, it would have the greatest cumulative effect.
Oh, I want to go back and just kill... if I had to choose a game I hate, I'd just probably go back and kill the Banjo-Kazooie first game.
Oh, what?
Just out of spite, but from effect, I'd love to go back, kill Mario, just to see what would happen to the industry. What the industry would look like now if Mario never came around. Nintendo never had that hit. Wow. I know, I'm breaking your heart here, Bailey, but it'd be a nice experiment. I could go back in time after that and stop me from stopping Mario.
Could you?
I don't know, because I might later decide to go back and stop myself from stopping myself from stopping Mario.
Time puncher when you need him. Sending a Terminator after you, Jason.
I would, I'm sorry.
I have actual tears.
Well, now here's the thing, and I don't know if this is really what the question... I mean, I guess it makes sense, because it's like, if you go back and you stop the development of Game X, obviously you go back to the present time, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And then, so you're aware of that, of what you just did, so it's not like that game is just wiped from your mind. Okay, well, yeah, I wouldn't mind going back and stopping Mario to see...
Just to see what would happen.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
You know, if you were going to look for... It was... See, you kind of took mine, because I was thinking Tetris, but along the same lines.
Yeah.
You went back and just stopped Tetris just to see what would happen.
We're killing Bailey here.
Well, now I have to think of something else, because you kind of took mine.
I'm sorry.
Bailey, go ahead.
No, whatever.
Really?
You just giving up on us, haven't you?
It's not Mario. You know, so
all right, what is it then? Is it Tetris?
No, I was also thinking along the lines of affecting the industry, but I was thinking, like, what had a negative impact on the industry that I could save? I mean, Mario seemed like a good idea to me, but clearly I'm in the minority opinion here.
No, I don't think anybody's...
I am Tom Cruise in Minority Report.
I don't think anybody's saying that Mario wasn't a good, wasn't a bad idea. Like, it's a great idea. I'm just saying, if you want to make waves, that's how you do it.
Historically, that's probably one of the biggest.
E.T. on Atari 2600.
See, E.T. is always like the game that gets beat down so much.
Then Pac-Man on Atari 2600. I wonder what
How about just the Atari 2600?
That's not a game, it's a console.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever. Jeez, Jason.
Can stop the gaming and stop a console.
I'll throw out another interesting one just for thoughtsies. Mortal Kombat. Two reasons. One, you slow the inevitable advance of the violence controversy in gaming. I honestly believe Mortal Kombat was so ahead of the curve on that. I mean, honestly, I think that was the pioneer. Number two, I think Mortal Kombat enabled the creation of a lot of clones that were going for a combat-like game. Instead of making more of a pure fighter like Street Fighter, I mean, can you imagine if developers hadn't seen the success of Mortal Kombat and decided to go for that direction and just kept focusing on honing fighter game mechanics? We could be 5 or 6 years ahead of the curve right now.
Yeah.
That was another interesting thought I had. Or Banjo-Kazooie, you know.
Come on. It's one of the greatest games ever made. I'd stop X-Men.
Ooh.
The Uncanny X-Men for the NES.
All right.
That's an interesting one.
I think it's all history now, but I think it really killed not only, you know, the franchise of X-Men, but then the whole idea of taking a medium and turning it into a video game. Like, I think that was one of those where it was just like, oh, there was obviously a ton of bad, you know, like movie games, movie license games. Mm-hmm. But I mean, X-Men was a comic book. I mean, you'd think that it would go by a different set of rules. But I mean, there was great comic book games after that, you know, like Batman and Spider-Man. But just like X-Men had such a big following. And maybe it's just me, because like that was my big comic book back in the day, was the X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, actually. And playing that game, I mean, it was just like, it was such a slap in the face to a 4-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, because that's all I wanted to do was play as Cyclops. That's all I wanted. And I finally get that chance as a kid, and it's like the worst experience of my life. Like, it's soul crushing.
And I think people forget how popular the X-Men cartoon was back then.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can still hear and see the theme going through my head. And for millions of people, I was just such a disappointment. I remember going over to my friend's house to play X-Men on Nintendo. I was like, this is nothing like what we had in mind for an X-Men game to be like.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, you felt shortchanged, you know?
I want to play as Wolverine. I want it to be Contra with claws. That's what we wanted.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
And then you got that with Wolverine, and it was awful.
Yeah, right. Way to go, LJN.
Yeah. Way to go.
And Mr. Harvey here, kind of cheating and squeezing multiple questions in, because he has another question.
All right.
Who wins in a fight? NES, Sega, or Steam? Thanks for your time. Really enjoy your podcast a bunch. James Harvey. I agree with Jason. I think Steam wins. What do you think, Hunter?
Steam.
Oh, yeah, definitely Steam.
Steam.
Great, let's take a music break.
Thank you.
we're back. That was Koopa's Castle by Bitmummy, another Super Mario RPG remix track from Heavy Troopa is ready to launch Disc 1. Once again, just fair warning, tons more Super Mario RPG stuff to come. But in the meantime, it is time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, the Retro Showdown is kind of the crux of our show. It's where each of us has chosen an old video game. Secretly, no one knows what the other has picked. We're going to have 1 minute introduce our choice, usually following a theme, and then we're just going to spend the rest of the podcast arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the trio on a poll on the podcast episode page at onemorecastle.com. That being said, 2 episodes ago, the theme was Review a Bad Game Day, where you were supposed to vote for the worst game of the three, which is different from the norm. Can either of you guess who won between myself, Hunter, and the other Hunter?
I'm going to say Bailey won.
Yeah, I'm going to say Bailey won, too.
It was totally me, yeah.
Nice.
Was it the last line? No, not a landslide. I didn't double the votes of anyone else, but... NRA Varmint Hunter beat out Dark Castle and the Game Boy version of Mega Man 2.
I didn't know we were supposed to vote for the worst one.
We tried to make it clear on the broadcast.
I missed
it. Then there was like a 12-hour period where the websites didn't make it clear, so Andrew had to edit it.
I voted for it.
Well, thanks. It's possible that I got screwed up, but that's fine. How appropriate
I'm sure
is
it didn't.
For Review a Bad Game Day? Yeah. I made the most convincing argument. That's all that matters.
Oh, I wouldn't go that
this
far.
Week's theme is games with numbers in the title that are not a sequel. And that's the game, not the numbers. So the game is not a sequel, but it still has numbers in the title. Got it? Good.
Wait, what?
Jason.
Yeah.
I probably just made it 10 times more confusing. Games with numbers in the titles.
Other than sequels,
yeah.
That are not sequels. They're not sequels.
Okay. Sequels. So if you picked like So-and-So 2 or So-and-So 3, you need to figure something out quickly.
Gotcha.
But Jason, if you have 1 minute on the clock for me, I think I'm ready.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You may begin.
You know, I went back to the NES like I do half the time or when I can't think of anything else and realized there's a gem on that console that I really like. It's a racing game, not in the traditional sense. It was released in 1991 by Activision. It's called Galaxy 5000. If you are familiar, you already know how innovative and unique this game is. If you're not familiar, you should know there's 36 tracks across all the different planets, including Pluto, back when it was a planet. There's 2 entirely different control schemes, and you can customize your vehicle based on money you earn for damaging other vehicles and objects on the track. Really cool, colorful, isometric graphics. There's voice effects, great music, great sound effects. You can jump, including across invisible shortcuts. It's basically an overhead, older version of F-Zero. Galaxy 5000. Yes.
Galaxy 5000.
Huh. Galaxy 5000.
All right.
It's pretty sweet. Game.
Are you ready, Hunter?
Wait a second. I need to add a game to my game list. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. You may begin.
For this week's showdown, I actually decided to go back to a favorite of mine from my childhood. Couldn't tell you how old I was or when I first played it or however it came into my hands, but it was definitely one of my favorites, and it always seemed like I always had it. That game is 3D World Runner, released in 1987 by Square for the NES. You take the role of a wild space cowboy on a mission to save various planets from serpent-like beasts that roam the lands. Battle through 8 different worlds, running, jumping, and shooting in a pseudo 3D third-person platform adventure game with groundbreaking technology, great music, and a fun ride of gameplay. 3D World Runner. World Runner.
World Runner.
World Runner.
World Runner.
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 World Runner.
God. So much better on the Sega Master System.
All right. I guess I'll begin. Okay, the game I brought this week is not actually the game I came into this podcast with. Instead, I'm going to go with the N64 title WrestleMania 2000, featuring WWF wrestlers from the Attitude Era. This game was released by the now defunct THQ. It had modes such as Royal Rumble, King of the Ring, and pay-per-view style events. You could customize your characters, you could perform finishing moves like The Rock's Rock Bottom, and you had characters like Kane and The Undertaker, or Mankind and Ken Shamrock. Overall, it was a great wrestling game for the N64, and you should play it. That's WrestleMania 2000 for the N64.
You should play it.
Jason, I'm just getting this out of the way now. Have you ever played WrestleMania 2000?
Yeah, I owned it. It was fantastic.
It was fantastic?
I was going to bring a game called Tyrion 2000, but when I played it this afternoon, it kind of sucked.
So yeah. It's never stopped you before.
Yeah,
that's true. So I didn't have an argument for it. It is free on Good Old Games, though.
Someone's got to pull a Clue Clue Land. I can't be the only
that's
one
true.
To bring the crappy games I played that week.
But I'm going for the wrestling demographic.
Well, I brought E.T.
He did. That actually happened.
Yeah.
That's true.
That happened. And sometimes it's fun to try and defend a crappy game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Not tonight. I brought a great game, so screw you guys.
This game reminds me of Rock and Roll Racing.
So yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's
it's like an 8-bit.
Interesting.
Yeah,
this game's kind of
a wrestling game, though.
Yeah, man. Hey, as Tom Hall said on our comment section of our podcast right now, welp, Jason wins.
That's exactly how wrestling game fans are. Wrestling games.
I'll be honest, I picked it because I know you hate wrestling games.
No. I've played them and enjoyed them, but their fans are the most irrational in existence. Wrestling games are the most consistently overrated video. Have I said this before on this podcast?
Oh, you've ranted several times on this.
I mean, we can hear it again. I'm okay with it.
I will just put it in one phrase. Wrestling video games have, for decades, consistently been by far, easily, the most overrated games of any category or type ever.
Wow. That was like a juggernaut rant right there.
Not even close.
No.
But
no.
What other game can you play as a character called Mr. Ass?
A game that Bailey and I made for QBasic.
Oh, well then.
Ass words. You may have heard of it earlier in the podcast.
If you would have been paying attention. See, I've never played WrestleMania 2000.
It's just like any of the other Nintendo 64 wrestling games.
Well, no, it's not. That's
it's not. That's the thing.
Hold on.
Ooh. I have arms.
All right, the original, not the original, but the WWF licensed wrestling games before this one was very, it was kind of like a fighting game. Like, you had to know what, direction to push and what button to hit and to do the moves, where the WCW games were very grapple intense, where you'd grapple first and then perform the move. And I always was a big fan of the WCW games, and I didn't like any of the WWF games. Since that one, was it Warzone and Attitude, I think, was the next one?
Yeah.
They were the exact same engine. It was an awful engine. And then THQ got them after, this was right before the acquisition, I think, of the WWF and the WCW. So they made the exact same game that WCW World Tour and WCW NWO Revenge was, but with WWF characters.
It was great.
I never played it. That's the thing.
You should. It's fantastic. Let me live out my crappy Kane ripoff characters all over again.
No, it's...
Hunter.
I don't know about all that, but...
Did Did you really just a minute ago try to make the wrestling games or fighting games argument?
The control scheme.
Are you going to next try and tell me that they're sports games as well?
There does exist sports games.
Mm-hmm. Would you put wrestling elements games of, in that category?
Yeah, wrestling is a sport. Professional Olympic wrestling, and there are elements of that within a entertainment-style wrestling.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, Kurt Angle, he's an Olympian.
He was.
Was.
Now he's a character.
Well, how'd he compete with the Road Warrior?
True.
And
well, I mean, a perfect example, to Bailey's point, was when Kim Shamrock came back to the UFC, he got his ass whipped. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't predetermined and nobody was pulling their punches. That's all I got.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Galaxy 5000. I'm really interested
let's
in this
do
game.
It.
It looks really cool, but I think I'd be frustrated playing it now.
Because, it looks very frustrating.
Because it seems like it's really slow. Like
yeah,
the frame
like
rate
laggy
slow. Yeah.
Slow.
Which, now, that's only because I've never played it, and I've played other games like it that are newer, but I don't...
It's...
Like, those animations aren't smooth whatsoever.
Here's the way I would put it. I won't even, like... try and sell the slow-mo as a feature argument. I won't even go there. I will admit the core criticism against Galaxy 5000 is that a racing game purist probably won't like it as much because the challenge is not based on twitch reflexes or reaction time or like a real time trial kind of player looking for every square inch of shortcut in those tight corners. It's more of a tactical driving game. It's hard to express unless you've actually played it, but it is a slower, methodical kind
of
game.
So, are you saying this is the Gran Turismo of F-Zero ripoffs?
Sure, that sounds... Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I don't know about it. I don't think that looks a good
you,
thing.
You heard it here.
Oh, it doesn't look good. It just looks annoying.
I think going back and playing it now, I wouldn't like it. But I mean, growing up, I was a big fan. I still am, actually, huge fan of the off-road games. The mm-hmm. Ivan,
Stewart?
Whatever his name was, Stewart. Yeah. And that just looks like just a really zoomed up version of that. I'm not too keen on the actual. Level design. It looks like they're just recycling the same level over and over again.
The planets have a similar appearance per each of their tracks, but there is a different design and different flow to them.
No, they look pretty identical to me.
Yeah.
That would just kind of be boring and mundane.
Why is there a fixed position camera as well?
What do you mean?
It does follow. It's not completely fixed.
Like, it's not like F-Zero where you're behind your vehicle while you're driving through these tracks. You're from this vantage point away. And it looks awful to control.
Actually, if you want to compare a game that's like F-Zero, it's definitely 3D World Runner. Definitely.
Definitely?
Definitely.
So, you know what I don't think you understand, Hunter? Remember when you used to hate rail shooters?
I hate light gun.
Remember those days?
Light gun
Remember
rail
days?
Shooters is what I don't like. Light gun rail shooters. You want to go back? Let's go back.
I kind of do. I kind of don't. I don't know. I could go either way.
Just saying.
3D World Runner is not that fun. I'm going to throw it out there. I know some people like it.
Oh, come on. How is it not fun? It's like nothing you've ever played before. The technology was groundbreaking.
Sometimes that's not a good
3D
thing.
Effect. Oh, really?
Ugh.
Okay, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, Legend of Zelda.
Great examples of innovating well. Sometimes just making a game unique and oh so different, just for the sake of being oh so different.
No, it's about
not a good thing.
No, it's about taking that leap and trying something different. And I mean, honestly, this game came out after Space Harrier for the Genesis or for the Master System. So, if anything, you could say it's a ripoff of Space Harrier because that game was fun. That game was a huge success, but it was groundbreaking for the NES.
This looks like a Virtual Boy ripoff.
How can you rip what?
Like something that was rejected being published for the Virtual Boy?
So they published it 15 years beforehand?
That's funny. I don't know where you're getting that, but I like it. It's funny.
Thanks.
I don't know where you're getting that, but I like it. Good argument, Jason.
It makes no sense. It's hilarious.
It's,
Wow.
Like, you almost had me on it. I'm actually going to have to say Galaxy 5000 looks better. And that pains me.
Oh, come on. Not that much.
No, it's...
Well, it's a different art style. Like, mine's very... Oh. Mine's meant to be very bubbly and, you know, cartoony-ish. You know, where...
Mine's yours totally looks... not bubbly.
Yeah, yours looks like it wouldn't kill me to control. Tundra.
No, it's... I mean, you're always running forward. You just move left and right and jump, and then you... when you're fighting the boss, you shoot. That's...
Yeah.
That controls... All right.
Galaxy 5000 has two entirely different control schemes to choose from. If you don't like one, use the other.
Okay, explain them. Explain them.
Okay. One of them is a whatever direction you press, your vehicle travels in that direction. You hold up, your vehicle travels up, or you hold left or right, and you're using the A button to accelerate. The other one, you use up to accelerate and left and right steer. You turn left, you turn right.
Well, that's awful. Who would do that? Yeah. That's like pressing up to jump. Like, that's the worst idea for a control scheme.
So it has a control scheme, and then it has something that will frustrate you even more than the frame rate.
I'm not frustrated by the other one. It's called Alpha. I'm definitely an Alpha guy.
What's the other one called?
Beta.
Yeah, that's dumb.
You're dumb.
Is that in reference to the unfinished... ness of the game?
Alpha and beta, yeah. I am kind of upset that the detail of the sprites, there's really isn't any. I mean,
it's not like there was texture mapping back then.
Well, no, I understand that, but I mean, look at the backgrounds. Like it's space, it's black, but like there's stars and there's constellations. Like it's a great looking background, and then there's absolutely no detail whatsoever to the ships. It's weird.
Well, the NES did have that pesky 3-color limit for most sprites. It's tough to add detail to a ship. But yeah, I'm just saying, racing games with sprites that big, it's tough to make it look great.
Can't you do shading with black at least?
Well, what about like games like R-Type? Like, there is crazy detail in that ship.
But it's got you there.
I'm just curious. Like, I'm just curious.
You can't automatically scroll the screen for a racing game. You have to use the resources to continually generate whatever direction you're scrolling. It's easier to do tricks like that when you can automatically scroll the background, sure. Like an R-Type, but you can't do that.
Well, in a racing game. I don't know.
Maybe.
Is that a picture of Jean-Claude Van Damme?
What are you talking about?
Is he eating a snake? Is that what he's
eating? What are you doing, Jason? What are you doing?
For those listening, I somehow put a picture of Jean-Claude Van Damme on my screen.
Somehow.
Witchcraft, I tell you. Wizardry.
Wizardry.
Good old
There's
wizardry.
There's a game I should have brought.
There's no numbers in it. There's not.
You got me there. So,
well, I mean, you can bring it next week, I guess. Whatever next week's going to be. Jason, your game sucks.
Because it
plays on the fandom of the WWF, where, you know, WCW versus NWO Revenge is obviously the precursor. Your game's just a palette swap. You guys want to bust my balls about palette swaps? That's a palette swap.
Bust
your balls over palette swaps.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
And Bailey, I think the frustration of the slowdown would kill me. I don't think I could play that game. At least my game's fun. It's interesting. It's got the 3D effect.
Mike!
It's got the 3D. It's got the red, blue,
3D. 3D adds nothing to gameplay.
What are you talking about? You get to wear cool glasses.
Do you like seeing movies in 3D? Do you enjoy paying extra dollars to see movies in 3D?
I've never seen a movie in 3D.
Jason?
Oh, don't. God, don't.
3D is awful.
Jeez. All right. Don't do it. Why?
Your opinion is terrible and so are you.
Are 3D movies really that bad?
They're not worth it. That's for sure.
No.
I don't have.
That's a fad that needs to get shot in the back of the head and drug out into the street as an example.
Wow. Kind of like your game. Wow. That's what we should do.
That's a little intense.
Just like camping. Intense. So Jason agrees that Hunter's game is terrible, and Hunter agrees that Jason's game sucks. I think we have a clear winner this week. No. Nope. Galaxy 5000.
Dude, stop it with the pictures of Van Damme. Like, it's... What is your fetish? Do you have a fetish for Van Damme?
What? What are you talking about?
God.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. For
those
listening to the podcast on Monday...
It's just me holding a dog.
Jason now has a picture of Van Damme holding a small dog with a very serious look on his face. Like he's going to eat him.
Van Damme, not the dog.
Right. Van Damme's got the
humorously serious look on his face for holding.
I don't know, dude. That dog looks pretty
pissed off too.
Lovingly
caressing it. It truly does. I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Neither of you can take this retro gaming podcast seriously, neither can I.
Nice.
Nice. That was good.
3D World Runner.
So. Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No.
8 different levels.
Galaxy 5000.
You got those sweet
the
jumps.
The number 5000 is WWF so much bigger than your something. Number. My number's the biggest. I mean, 5000.
It's not about size, Bailey.
It's over 9000.
It's about where it is in the game, which in mine, it's in the first place. 3D World Runner.
You could call my game 5000 Galaxy. It'd be the same game.
Yeah, awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super slow.
You said it looked cool.
Yeah, until I...
Try
I'm
it.
Going to,
try
and I'm going
it.
To be very upset.
Try it. Try
okay,
it.
All right, hold
no.
on.
Try
hold
it.
On.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Stop. Quit.
Wait a minute. No.
Okay, give it.
Okay, Jason.
You guys suck.
Jason, let's talk about your game. You ready?
Yeah.
You positive?
No, I'm 112% positive.
That's a lot. That's a big number.
Man.
So, did you... okay, so back to what I was saying earlier. Had you played, like, the WCW 64 game?
Yeah, I had the WWC, I believe it was Nitro. I'll say Nitro.
Yeah, that was for the PlayStation. I don't think that one ever came out on the 64.
What was the one for the 64, then?
WCW World Tour and WCW versus NWO Revenge.
Right. I had played a lot of WCW NWO Revenge before I had it on 64. A friend had it, so I'd be over there all the time playing it. And then when I got my N64, I bought it used. Some guy was selling it with a ton of games, and this... WrestleMania actually came with it, and I thought it was just great.
I don't know. Maybe, again, because... I mean, if you speak to any, you know, wrestling fanatic, especially back in that time frame, like, you either liked one or the other. You were never... You couldn't like both. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I mean, growing up, I was a WCW fan. Like, I was a big fan of Sting, and, you know, when the Wolfpack came out, the whole NWO thing, I was on board. And I couldn't get into the WWF games. And when I did, it was that awful control scheme with the combos and the, you know, like the fireballs. And then when this game came out, it was like, I don't even want to play it because I know the other two are awful. I'm just going to stick with my WCW game. Maybe I missed something.
Wait, what WWF game had fireballs?
No, I mean like to do the fireball.
If you get to make crap up about other people's games
what?
To form
no,
your own argument...
No, that's not...
Let me give that a shot. No. Hey, Hunter, I really hate it in 3D World Runner how all the boss fights have a 20-second time limit. I think that's the stupidest idea ever.
That's not
Makes
even
it near
true.
Impossible to beat any of them.
It's not even
and
true.
Jason... Gosh, in your wrestling games, the fact that you can do those fireballs is so ignorant. It blows my doubtful mind. I can't take it. But in my game, it actually dispenses cash from your NES. Every time you win a race, you get real legit money. That's
is that
pretty
to make
cool.
up for the time wasted?
Real legit money. Another thing I like about 3D World Runner is the game setup and like levels and worlds. So you're in world one, There's four different parts, and then you fight the boss at the end, kind of like Super Mario Brothers. But since you're running, the game actually, the levels never stop. You just, when you get to a certain point, you're automatically in the second level or the third level. It's like a continuous run. Very cool. It's a cool idea. It's cooler than your guys' games.
That's stupid.
It is.
At this point, I kind of regret being on this podcast with you both.
Tonight. Happy 50, guys.
Happy
50. Happy 50 episodes. Woo! Final arguments. Hunter, why the crap, stupid, your game, dumb, tell us.
You should definitely pick 3D World Runner. Because it's a fun game. It's a very inventive game. The music's great. It's got the 3D mode with the red and the blue. Continuous action. Cool boss battles. Sweet jumps. Lots of detail. Great graphics.
Jason! Why should stupid your pick game let us know?
You should pick WWF WrestleMania 2000 for the N64. Because it's a fantastic game. As well as being a fantastic wrestling game.
Ouch.
That's a circular argument if I've ever heard one.
Wait, so when your arms are up in the air, does that mean you're done?
Yeah.
Okay, I forgot to put my arms up in the air.
Sorry. Okay. Well, while you two are screwing around with your arms, I'm going to say you should vote for Galaxy 5000 on NES because it actually is fun. It also has sweet jumps. It looks great despite what Hunter says. It plays even better than it looks, though. The soundtrack is really good. I barely got to talk about that at all. And it's like F-Zero or Gran Turismo. Shout out to the live stream viewers that have been leaving comments. What up, Chrono Slinger, Tom Hall, One More Castle, Eric Bailey, Jason Lamb, Eric M. Hunter. Wait, that's mostly just us. Well, you know what? Shout out to those of you watching who are not leaving comments as well. Otherwise, just a reminder, you can send us emails, podcast@onemorecastle.com for any questions or comments you have. Remember to vote on the podcast page of the website. Wow, you two are really funny right now with your pictures. And, ugh, it's disturbing, Jason.
What? It's just Ric Flair. Old, like, man Ric Flair.
Dude, Ric Flair's always been an old man. I've never seen a young man.
Never young.
Yeah. He looks awful. He's always looked awful. Sun dried bacon.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, Bailey, you were saying?
No, I wasn't. Oh, I can't even. My eyes, I need like eye bleach. Boop, boop. My self promo, you can check out my blog at NintendoLegend.com. Follow me on Twitter, Nintendo_Legend. Remember to follow One More Castle @OneMoreCastle on Twitter. Special thanks to Ben Landis for the intro and outro theme. Special thanks to Hunter for showing off his biceps right now. How about you guys? Any self promos or shout outs?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter @EricHunter. My blog is EricMHunter.net. And self promo time. My indie game review site is now in phase 3.
What? I haven't checked that out yet. I need to.
Yes, check it out. I am ericm.com. So if you got any questions, suggestions, ideas, there's more updates to come and content. So let me know.
Pretty sweet. 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
That rhymes.
Jason?
You can follow me on Twitter @JasonLamb. You can also go to my website, thetestproject.com. I'll give a shout out to Ben Affleck, who is just cast as Batman in Man of Steel for some awful reason.
What?
It's true.
Man of Steel.
Yeah, man.
Did you mean Batman
Man of Steel 2? Man of Steel 2.
Wait a second. Wait.
They confirmed that Batman's going to be in the next Superman movie at Comic-Con.
Yeah, no, that's...
No, Ben Affleck.
You delivered that most confusing way possible.
No, wait.
Where are your...
How did that even happen? He wasn't even on the short list.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got money.
Why?
I don't know.
Because Daredevil wasn't bad enough?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Oh. Wow.
So that's our podcast.
Also, listeners, feel free to leave comments on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. We haven't had like a 40 comment extravaganza in a while. I miss our heated debates that would erupt on the page. So feel free to shove those in there. And speaking of shoving things in there, remember, listeners, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.